Listen anytime, anywhere to News Talk 1010 Toronto through your Apple CarPlay or Android Auto. Jerry Agar continues on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Hollywood movie studios, including Warner Brothers, Disney, Paramount, Universal, say Canada is out of step with other countries when it comes to what counts as a Canadian film. They say the criteria is so inflexible that award-winning productions such as The Umbrella Academy and The Shape of Water, made here featuring a plethora of Canadian talent, don't count as officially Canadian. I think I know why some of this is happening, but why don't I talk to somebody who's much more likely to know, the host of Last Call with Richard Krause and News Talk 1010 contributor Richard Krause. Good morning.
Morning, Jerry. How are you?
I'm well. Now, if you're going to be Canada's beloved movie guy, as I always call you, I'm expecting you to have... What's going on here?
Well, the only reason that Warner Brothers and everybody else that you just mentioned there would be interested in what goes on in Canadian cinema is money. And so what's happening now is there is a push from the Minister of Heritage, Pablo Rodriguez, to redefine how these big streamers, because really this is essentially what it comes down to. We are all being fed streaming content through Netflix and Disney Plus and Amazon Prime, and they're trying to pass the Online Streaming Act that'll make those companies promote Canadian films and television, plus financially support them. And when you hear that, you know, the rules are inflexible, it is the American companies, by and large American companies, saying that because it costs them money. If you were to make The Shape of Water here, an Academy Award winning film, used a great many people who live in Canada as crew members. There were Oscars won by Canadians on that film, but it was paid for by an American company. You have to wonder, is it a Canadian film? Is anything that's shot here automatically Canadian? Well, I would say no. I think that we have Canadian content rules in place for a number of reasons. But if we want to just boil it all down to one basic thing, it's all about money. If you are Canadian content and labeled as such, you can get access to additional fundings. And that's what the big companies are trying to get at. If they feel that they're going to be forced to promote Canadian content, frankly, they don't want to pay that much for it. And our low dollar isn't enough. It's part of it, and it's a big deal, but it's not enough. They want additional funding, and I don't think we owe them that.
Oh, okay, but they're saying, yeah, you want to force us to run Canadian content, and if we're going to run The Shape of Water, we should get some credit for that. This is very analogous, I think, to something that took place many years ago here in Canada in the music industry, and that was, that. In fact, it's what killed CKLW in Windsor as the dominant music station in North America was the Canadian content ruling, because quite frankly, CKLW in Windsor was, to all intents and purposes, a Detroit radio station.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, and I think it was the only station that was affected in the same way, in that way, because the station in Winnipeg wasn't counting on an American audience anyway, and maybe not in Toronto here as well. And it was that you had to play a certain percentage of Canadian music. And the way that they designated it, and they still do, was called MAPLE: music, artist, production, and lyric. And if you had a song like Adele, for instance, could go, she's British, she could go into a studio in London today and record a version of Gordon Lightfoot's Early Morning in the Early Morning Rain, and that would count as Canadian content. 2 out of 4, it has the music and the lyrics, and that's how it works. It's a very defined thing. Is that what they're looking for in terms of movies?
That is what they're looking for. They're looking to define what exactly is Canadian content. So there was a movie a little while ago, nominated for Academy Award, called Turning Red. And that could, I suppose, have been considered CanCon because it was directed by a Canadian. It starred Sandra Oh, who was born in Ottawa. It takes place in Toronto, but it was produced entirely in the United States by Pixar. And so is it Canadian or is it not? That's the big question here. So are shows like The Last of Us or Yellow Jackets, which are both American productions who came to Canada, The Last of Us was shot in Calgary, Yellow Jackets was shot sort of in the wilds of Alberta, and are those shows considered Canadian because they were shot here and presumably used crews and hired a lot of people here in this country. I mean, I think we have to be really careful because it's an important designation because it opens up avenues for tax breaks and for lots of other financial shenanigans here. And I do think that we have to modernize and have a look at this. These rules haven't been updated for a long time, and streaming has completely disrupted the game, but not to the extent where it's no longer an advantage to Canadians actually making movies and shows in Canada with Canadian talent.
Okay, but we need that American money because you know very well that that it looks Canadian to me is a thing.
Well, I mean, I will tell you that I think it was a thing. I think that people have this ingrained thought that Canadian movies just don't look as good. I'll also tell you that, you know, the Canadian movies that you're watching are in many cases shot and set designed and, you know, have all the what they call the craft areas, the craft services, by the same people that are working on these huge American movies that are also shot here. And so, you
know. Sure, but it's a matter of budget. It's the ability to put that much more money in and take more takes
It's why we tell different kinds of stories here. There's a great Canadian movie out this weekend called Blackberry, which is about the rise and fall of research in motion. And it cost about $5 million to make. It's fantastic. It is a little punk rock movie about a company that disrupted the way that we communicate. And in its own way, it's a really disruptive movie. And it isn't a big superhero movie, and it isn't something that's going to make $150 million, but it's a completely great, really respectable, fun movie that we're making here, and that's the kind of movies that we need to protect and make sure that people get a chance to see.
Okay, and it's a really good movie?
That's a great movie. Yeah, no, it takes off like a rocket. The pedal is put to the metal in the very first scene. And even though you know how it ends, because, you know, frankly, you don't see a lot of people walking around with Blackberries these days, it keeps your interest right through to the end. And actually, there's an emotional component to it that I didn't expect in a movie that is essentially about the invention of the smartphone.
Okay, what's up with all those Hallmark movies they're producing in Northern Ontario? These things are average. They're average at best.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, they employ a lot of people. They employ a lot of people, and they get an enormous amount of ratings. And people watch them. There's a reason why they make a lot of those movies is because there is a market for them. When that market dries up, they'll stop making them, and they'll make something else. But I don't consider those Hallmark movies to be particularly Canadian. I'm sure that some of them qualify, but Hallmark's a big American company, and they make movies here because it's cheap because of the dollar.
Look, I'm glad they're doing it. I'm glad that people are getting work, and if people are enjoying the movies, that's a great thing as well. But you're saying those movies are not considered Canadian content.
Well, they get, I mean, I don't know about all the Hallmark movies because I'm sure that some of them are produced by Canadian producers here in country. Some of them, not all of them. But they do. I mean, they hire Canadian crews. There is, you know, Canadian actors who make a living doing these things. And all that stuff is great. All that stuff is great. No one's arguing against that. But I think that when you have movies like, you know, Turning Red, it's a fantastic movie. Do not get me wrong. It's a really cool movie directed by a woman that grew up in Toronto and wanted to sort of pay tribute to Toronto in the film. But it's not, you know, by our rules, it doesn't qualify as a Canadian film. It was paid for by a big American company. And, you know, it made a lot of money here. It made a lot of money in the United States. It was a giant hit. But it's not one that we can claim as our own.
Well, we want to encourage as much American money coming across the border as possible. You and I seem to be at odds on this a little bit because if we're going to say to the big streamers, we have to play Canadian content, let's make it possible for them, A, to shovel us a lot of money, and B, to be able to claim Canadian content and use Canadian talent more.
Well, it's not like they're not shooting stuff here. I mean, in most of the stuff that we're seeing a great deal of the stuff that we're seeing, the writer's strike is certainly going to affect us because we're going to see things trickle down to almost a stop in the next few months. But a lot of stuff is already shot here. And it's shot here for very good reasons. I mean, because the dollar is low, yeah. And they're already getting breaks here. The idea that they want more is a little, seems counterintuitive to me, since they're making money here. Netflix has a huge subscription base here, as does Disney Plus. They're already making money here. Let's just make sure that they, you know, support the country that they're streaming in.
All right. Well, I was disagreeing with you to some degree, but I think you know more about this than I do, so I'll defer to you. Richard, thanks.
Thanks, Jerry. Thanks for having me.
This is the iHeartRadio Talk Network.